Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the ScaleLogic Media Workflow Solutions podcast, where every month my good friend Bob Herzan and I get to rant, rave, discuss, debate, argue over all things media workflow related. Bob, how are you doing today?
Couldn't be better, Scott.
Excellent. So here's the topic we are going to, we'll say politely, debate today. We'll start off with that. Is that we're talking about analytics and business intelligence in the post-production environment. Now, let me ask you this, or at least let me frame this, and because I very much would like your opinion on this, because I know I have my own, is that when it comes to the whole analytics and business intelligence for storage, this is something from an enterprise perspective that's been around for, I'll say, quite a while. I mean, it's, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that kind of manage your cloud storage, those kind of things, or even, you know, analytics packages that you can get for on-prem, private cloud, those kind of things, that, you know, manage the daily, I will say, right, is that it's like, hey, I need to spin up new storage. Who is this going to get charged back to within a cost center, those types of things. And it's all well and good, but I suspect, or at least, you know, it's like from all the things that we do as a company, it just seems that there's never been, no one's ever shown love to the media workflow side of things and the post-production environment side of things. It's always very much tilted towards more the enterprise side of things. And when I mean enterprise, I don't mean, you know, the level of you know what these things do as far as it's all about like the enterprise cost center scenario. It's more like about finance and those kind of things than it is about what actual post-production environments do. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, it's a very normal thing because, you know, the IT infrastructure industry is much more broader and has been, you know, since compute times. So media and entertainment has always been known as the creative groups. They're not IT-centric individuals. They just need a place to park a bunch of content and turn it into their stories. So that part of it, the analytics part of it over the decades has been missed, where the IT administrators needed it to manage their infrastructures on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week, month-to-month. The issue there is because the IT environments had administrators, had technically savvy individuals, a lot of those packages are very cumbersome, complicated, takes a lot of personal attention to farm that data accurately so that it can be used to make the decisions that they need to make best for their
client. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this falls into one of those things where, you know, because look, we've all worked in those environments as well, is that when it comes to those enterprise level analytics platforms, I would call it, I mean, this is usually applied, as I said, a lot of the times to finance as well. A lot of the time there are business analysts involved. You know, there's a lot of moving parts in these things that really have nothing to do with the day-to-day management of, like, I'll call it project-based scenarios. And you're right. I mean, it's, you know, the level of complexity paired with just, you know, the fact that, again, it's just not meant to do what most, you know, post-production environments want it to do. It's, you know, kind of square peg, round hole, I will say, so to speak. But let me ask you this. Like, I mean, is this also, you know, as we start to see the need for far better analytics and understanding storage, where projects reside, who's working on projects, those kind of things, is this and I'm going to use a cringy term here, I guess, in some ways, because I think it's somewhat overused, but it's still apt, and I'll make it apt at least in when I finish this question/thought, is that, is this basically something that has evolved through the concept of digital transformation? But let me clarify digital transformation. I don't mean that as in the marketing-y kind of term, kind of, you know, that you see a lot in media and things. What I really mean by that is digital transformation tends to represent, one, a dissolving of silos within organizations, so everything has sort of an interoperable kind of, you know, relationship. And as such, you know, with digital transformation, the concept of data, how to leverage data, how to analyze it, how to benefit from it from a business intelligence perspective, I think is something that has evolved greatly even in the last, say, 5 years, and perhaps kind of worked its way into the media space, where suddenly now it's like, oh, yeah, this is something we actually can use because every other division within a company also has the ability to, you know, to enjoy, I will say, and use analytics. Would you agree with that?
Sure. I'm not sure exactly where the question was there, other than the statement. Yeah, I would agree that's true statement. You also look at, you know, what's evolved over the last decade or so in the creative space. It's a group that develops so much content. It's hard to even imagine the millions and millions and millions of files that they're putting in there with limited levels of organization when they're doing it. You've got multiple people ingesting content into multiple different islands of storage now, and trying to manage that effectively can be a nightmare. You know, some of them try to do it with, you know, sophisticated MAMs, but unless your processes are really fine-tuned and mandated, those MAMs don't always work so well within the environments. Others, you know, find other ways to do it. But the fact of the matter is, when you're dealing with now half a petabyte, multiple petabytes of storage, you've got primary disk, secondary disk, you're taking advantage of cloud resources out there. It's literally impossible to try to manage that content without some type of smart analytics that can give you a graphical interface of what you've done and where you've done it.
Well, to me, one of your points, I mean, it's, you know, I always tend to laugh is that the, you know, whatever kind of MAM people are using, it's, you know, and whatever processes are in place, it's the never underestimate the speed at which dictated processes will be ignored as well, right? Like, it's just people just don't work that way. So it's like, and as you said, I mean, when you have something that's, you know, an intelligent data platform that kind of does the work for you, I think that, you know, suddenly that's where the benefits and value really come in. You mentioned the storage island scenario. And I mean, it's like, I love that term because I think it's probably one of the most descriptive terms in technology in this day and age, is that, you know, these really are islands that might as well be millions of miles apart a lot of the times when it comes to actually knowing what's residing within those. Is that, what is the primary benefit, I will say, of analytics when it comes to actually just connecting those islands from a visibility perspective?
There's a few different things that come to mind. So first off, the costing of the different storage islands that you have, you know, that's there for a purpose. You have high performance storage to take care of your primary workloads. You have second tier to give you backup or archive of the content that you have been working on. And then you've got this third tier of cold storage out there that is going to hold all your long-term data that you don't need to get to for any particular time frame. And you need to understand the costs of those different products so that you're putting your content in the right place at the right time. And a case in point there is, you know, we have watched over the years customers purchase what they felt was enough primary storage and find out that, you know, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, they've maxed out the file system by 100%. You know, so their system is no longer writing data to it. And at that point, we have to go in and, you know, we have different tools to analyze that kind of data from a manual perspective and pull it out and then determine, okay, you've got, you know, 500 terabytes worth of cold data. You've got 250 terabytes worth of duplicates. And now we can, after going through that process, you can pull that content, you can move it to the appropriate storage. So the ability now to give a graphical user a vision of that data much sooner than him filling up the system and effectively moving that content into the right storage islands at the right time is probably one of the largest values. I mean, there's a huge, huge savings of getting cold data and duplicate data off of your higher production storage.
And it's not, you know, the other thing is too, is, and it's like, you know, look, we, you know, as a company, I mean, we have, at least what I like to think is the leading, you know, analytics platform out there for that is truly purpose built for the market. It's, you hit on something that's actually also though really important, is that this isn't about just reducing storage costs. Like, I mean, obviously, like, that's a big part of it, and it's like that's a huge, you know, component and kind of reasoning why somebody would want this, because there's, let's face it, everything is attached to finance these days, right? It goes back to what I was saying about the whole digital transformation scenario, is that the more and more opportunity that analytics can be injected into an environment means the more and more opportunity for, you know, the CFO and everyone else to have, you know, access into things to say, where exactly are we spending money and why and when and how and those types of things. But aside from the reducing costs, like there's also that, and again, like, I'll, you know, I'll use a very common term here, which is that single pane of glass scenario where you can manage all of these files and have insight into even projects, I will say, and kind of where they reside in their life cycle in this, which is, again, does that not also translate to, you know, better, faster, easier management of massive projects?
Well, it absolutely does. And it again, it gives the business side the opportunity to look at the data and what it is costing to do a particular project as it relates to the infrastructure. It could tell you, you know, how much time a particular editor is spending working on a particular project, or if he's actually efficient in the way that he's doing his workflow. So there's all kinds of data you can start to gain from the analytics package, and each business will find different ways to use it for their own benefit. But it's no doubt the cost savings and something that will. So, you know, I think this is a key point too. The media and entertainment industry is a very competitive marketplace, and they eat up data like nobody else. They don't like to spend money when they don't have to. And when you look at some of the analytic packages that have been out there or available to them, they're extremely expensive. So besides, you know, giving them this data that they need in order to drive a better efficient workflow through their digital storage networks, you're also going to make it affordable for them so they can justify it a lot easier. So that was one of our key initiatives, is make it extremely affordable but very intuitive to the actual media and entertainment business.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I know that it may sound even cheesy at times because, you know, God knows there's so many companies that say this, but, you know, I mean, a solution like this does, quote unquote, pay for itself over and over and over again. You know, and Absolutely. I mean, the cost savings, as I was saying, is hugely important. But there's also it's amazing what happens when people have a visual component to their storage. And like I said, I mean, business intelligence goes far deeper than just seeing where you're spending money, right? So it's like here's an interesting one. Like the ability to visualize, you know, like each and every project's allocated space. So like to you, what does that mean in the post-production environment? Like what does it result in?
Well, that's up to the individual business owner. I mean, if you see that, you know, particular projects are taking up more of your resources than others, you know, you may identify that, look at that particular customer, determine if you're quoting out the appropriate rates to them, I guess. And that's again, like I said, the tool gives them the data that they need to determine how they're going to run their business based on the cost of their infrastructure. It's not really my place to tell them, you know, which way that is. Another point I think is really important. One of the reasons that we developed this and put it into our product line is as we were going into new customers, these new customers had legacy infrastructure in there. So we wanted to make sure that the analytics package wasn't just tied to a Scalogic product, but it was tied to anything connected to the network. Reason being is you don't know what mess you're getting into when you go and refresh a facility's legacy storage. And so we thought that this tool would make great sense for those making that, you know, 4 or 5 year investment to repurpose their storage and refresh into a new infrastructure, that they could actually see what they've got and know what to migrate over and what to delete and what to move out to the cloud or put onto tape and allow a much more efficient migration into the new system, which would be our system.
Well, let's talk about that mess for a moment. Because like I said, you know, sometimes it's fun to just think of, you know, maybe you're, you know, there's those companies out there that are just example of others of what not to do. And it's like, without naming names, obviously, because it's like, look, every company has its, you know, skeletons in its closet. I mean, you know, a lot of our customers are some of the largest post-production houses in the world. Like, but give me some insight on that mess. What does that mess look like? Like, talk about some of the dirt we've seen, just because, again, like, and how, you know, realistically that dirt can be avoided by, you know, and saving, you know, probably a lot of money on kind of that, call it remediation side of things.
Yeah, that mess is created, you know, just take an average facility and let's say they've got, you know, 10 creatives that are so 10 different suites that are working on a shared storage environment. It was different when they were working on their individual stuff, when they just had a sneakernet drive or something that they would use. If they filled it up, they'd have to go request, you know, more another drive. Now we've got a shared storage environment. Some of these shared storage environments are managed very well. They give quotas and things like that, so they can control a lot of what the editors are doing, but many of them don't even pay any attention to that. So editors can start to dump, you know, let's just say we shot this film or got this content going, and editor one, he ingests it in, and editor two doesn't know that he ingested it in, so editor two, he ingested it in. Well, now we've got dual copies of the same content, where that's the whole idea of shared storage, is all you need is the single copy. You could go through multiple transcodes for whatever reasons and not need half of the transcodes that you put out there, but those were mistakes that were done. You can put down a bunch of personal files that sit there forever and just build up over the years and years that don't need to be there and need to be cleared off. Graphics, you know, you got multiple revisions of graphics and you get to your final and you don't need the other 18 versions of it that you had out there. or you just want to get rid of that and archive it. But unless somebody's there to do that and you have a librarian, an administrator to watch that content all the time and make sure they're moving the stuff that doesn't belong on that primary storage, it will just sit there forever, fill up the file system until you get yourself at a point where you either have to make a decision to figure out what to get rid of, which is a big job, or what most of them do, and believe me, I'm a storage company, I'm not opposed to this, what most of them do is go, oh, give me another petabyte, I need to add another petabyte. And that, you know, for me, that's supposed to be the ultimate, right? You know, I want to
sell
another petabyte one right after another. But in the end, that's not what we're after with our customers. We're not there just to sit there and sell petabytes of storage. We're there to help them in multiple ways to connect their workflow and allow them to build efficiencies for long-term gain on the solutions that we do, be it hardware or software.
So here's a question for you. And it's like, I know this is a bit of a kind of a minefield question, I guess. Because it does maybe point some fingers, but not intentionally, is that, you know, you mentioned, okay, you've got, you know, editor one that's ingesting, you know, terabytes worth of stuff, doesn't tell editor two ingest the same amount. You know, you've got all these duplicate files starting to ramp up inside the storage. But really, is it their job to manage storage? You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that in a flippant way. Like, I honestly don't see it as truly their job to manage that. You know, if you're an editor, you're an editor. If you're a creative, you're a creative. Like, look, I mean, look within even our creative team inside our own marketing department, right? It's like our graphic designers have nothing to do with the amount of files that sit in storage. Like it's not their job to manage that. It's their job to create and you know, create the output that results in revenue, right? Or leads to revenue. So it's the, you know,
you're onto it, Scott. That's the exact reason for building a simple tool to let even an editor, you know, go in, look at the UI, look at the interface, and be able to identify, you know, his own files, his own projects, his own mess ups, if he needs to. But yeah, it's not their job to do that. Somebody needs to take responsibility, and the business owner themselves is the one that's got to determine how that gets done. And he can only do that by being presented with the appropriate data.
Now, but here's the minefield question. Does this now translate to making it the editor's job? Because it becomes easy, like super easy, because as you just said, I mean, somebody can see their own files and go, hey, like I just need to edit this appropriately. It doesn't add, I'll say time or energy to the day. It's more of just that visual of, oh, I've got, you know, this many files. I should probably just turf these out at 4:30 in the afternoon before I shut down for the night.
Right, but like you said earlier in the podcast, you know, you can't, you try to mandate these processes.
I know, do it, right.
You know, they're not going to get done.
Yeah.
So, it's a great idea to give the visual to the editor and expect that he's going to do it. But again, he probably won't. And therefore, you know, the tool's there for the business owner to be able to figure out, you know, what he needs to do to you know, maximize the investment that he's got. The other thing, you know, from that standpoint, with the appropriate shared storage environment put in there, the business owner can also set these quotas. And so at that point, it's making the editor a little bit more accountable for the content that's being put down there. As if he only has a 4 terabyte quota limit right there, even though it's a soft quota, you know, he may have to go look and go, you know, I'm about to go double my soft quota, I'm going to get in trouble. So, you know, I got to go look at my content and see what I can get rid of.
Like, I know it's like, you know, you keep using the term business owner, but is it truly the business owner that's going to manage this? Or is this going to make someone just below the business owner's job a lot easier? And who is that individual?
Well, absolutely. And it could be, I mean, it could be an IT administrator if the company's big enough, or it's the smartest technical editor there that's taking care of the network.
Right.
But at some time or another, people are going to have to make decisions to grow their storage,
yep.
either in capacity or performance, and they need, you know, they need not to have just a gut feeling about it, or mm-hmm. maximize out their file system and be forced into a situation where they have to go out and buy additional storage. They have to have the information. It wasn't that hard, you know, years ago, because the content was in a manageable size, or mm-hmm. it was all centralized into a single bucket. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, even our smallest customers are out there asking for a petabyte worth of storage, which is a lot of storage. Mm-hmm. Even those smallest customers are running, you know, 2 and 3 tiers of storage. So try to, you know, think about managing a petabyte of a single instance versus 3 petabytes of multiple instances. And you yeah. need help. You need the analytics, the artificial intelligence that's getting added into things like this to mm-hmm. help you make the decisions. You're not going to be able to do it. It's only going to get worse.
So here's the last question of the day. It'll probably take you a few minutes to answer this one. But this is, let me frame it this way, is that you and I have had this discussion so many times, is that, so you mentioned the IT administrator. Now, that role is an interesting role, especially when it comes to the media and entertainment industry, and especially in post-production environments, because how many times have you and I said is that, you know, the average, and I don't mean average as in skill set, I mean just like, you know, people that are IT administrators do not necessarily have, I will call it, the true insight into workflows and kind of the daily jobs of editors and post-production environments and those types of things, nor do the people that work in post-production environments as editors like have insight into what an IT administrator does. And I know, like, so many times we've discussed that maybe the battle between the two, a lot of the times, where it's the ones, you know, the IT administrator's trying to throttle storage or whatever it may be, or not understand the type of storage they need, and it's, why don't you just get, you know, just throw a box up, like it's not a big deal, and it's, no, it is a big deal, because they don't understand workflows. Is this type of analytics platform something that, is there going to be a meeting of hearts and minds on this, right? Because it's suddenly now, like we said at the beginning, this is a very, very different animal than the average enterprise analytics that go along with just the average enterprise storage of, well, here's how many Word documents we have stored, and here's how many Excel files, and here's how many whatever else that, you know, is being stored in a corporate environment. You know, it's like, is this going to be something that's going to perhaps give way more insight to the IT administrators on the world of post-production than ever before?
See, you said it was going to take me 2 minutes to answer that question, but it's not. We'll go with the, you know, the statement of the year, follow the science. So the science says, you know, there's the data. It's hard for either side to argue when the data is, you know, put out there in such a way that it just proves anyone's point.
So, right.
That's the idea behind it. There's no more gut feelings or I thinks or anything like that. There's trends. There's factual data in place. It's broken down just perfectly and can be drilled down even better. So you can get every answer you need based on your storage uses. Even if you need to go back a year or 2 years, if you've got this package in play, you can go back and see the trends of the data, you know, throughout the months, and see where your busy seasons are and all that. You could be at 90% of your file system in October and November, and then you could have it cleared off and have 60% cleared off, and you've got this, you know, major increase now that you can bring business back in. And but if you get back into that July time frame and you're back at 80 or 90% of the file system, you know there's going to be a surge in October, November, because the trends told you that's what was going to happen. And therefore, you can make those decisions ahead of time before you find yourself in trouble. And nowadays, with the supply chain, you don't want to find yourself in trouble. It's not like it was where you could just call up and say, okay, give me a half a petabyte of storage and I need it here in 5 days. And we could do that. Now it depends on the configurations and everything, if it's going to be 5 days or 5 months. And the industry has seen it across, well, not only our industry. I mean, every industry has been impacted over the last year's pandemic on availability of product and components. So being all that more informed as a business owner is that much more important to make sure that you're ready for your influx of business and when it happens. Hey, and that did take 2 minutes, didn't it?
See, I knew it, man. I knew it. But you know, I'm actually very glad that you also brought up just the supply chain issues, because it's the, you know, for all accounts that I'm reading from analysts online and things like this, is still going to be impacting people for a good at least 12 to 18 months, if not more, depending on the industries, you know. And it's like, and it's odd to see how it's obviously, you know, from the, I'll call it the IT space, when it comes to just, you know, being able to order any kind of tin whatsoever is almost impossible at this point in so many ways, because it's just the chip shortages and everything else to go along with it. But look, we're seeing it like even impacting things like the automobile industry and everything else, like, and different industries stealing from one another almost, where it's, you know, whoever has the most clout within, you know, with those particular manufacturers to say, hey, I will take every chip you've got of a certain kind or every component of a certain kind, it leaves everybody else wanting. So to your point, I mean, this is where the analytics really come into play, where, you know, you can kind of little maybe be a master of your own destiny far better than previously thought, right? So yeah. So there you go, man. We've ranted, we've raved, we've talked about analytics, we've talked about pandemics and the effect of chip shortages and everything else. I think probably a good time to wrap things up, or we could talk for another hour just on a lot of this stuff again. So my name is Scott Williams, as always, Mr. Bob Herzan. Bob, thanks for your time today, and thanks for the listeners. And we will be seeing you, or you'll be listening to us rant and rave and argue next month. So thanks, everyone.